Hello and welcome to On the Page, the podcast that accompanies the Writers' Festival of Belgium, presented by me, Alia Papageorgiou. Today, we talk to a brilliant book editor who has been working for more than a decade now on editing other people's books for an organization called Book Helpline. She's an academic, an editor. She helps authors to self-publish, and even those who are publishing traditionally, to edit their manuscripts and get them up to scratch. So I wanted to ask her her impressions and her expertise and about her knowledge into how do we shape a short story? What is a short story? What is a good short story, if we can say that? Because, of course, reading is completely a subjective experience. But still, you know, there are some norms, there are some rules that to be followed. And she really brought us some brilliant examples. And I hope you enjoy this conversation.
I've been a full-time book editor now since 2015. I was books editor for Bristol 24/7 before that, which meant reviewing and writing about books. But now I mostly edit. I do write occasionally still. That includes a wide variety, like short stories, nonfiction, fiction, corporate work, anything like that.
What's the difference between a good story and a bad story?
Well, here's my idea, and probably not everyone would ascribe to this, but a story is a way of getting your brain or your body to kind of experience a different life for a moment, to experience a different situation. But many of them are kind of familiar situations set in different locations. So we kind of, once we can believe that we are living whatever the author is trying to tell us, we can kind of subconsciously or unconsciously, I'm not sure if it's known or unknown, we're kind of living that situation and trying to figure out what we would do in that situation. So our bodies, our brains don't really know that it's different. So our hearts race when it's a thriller. You know, we have this kind of detached curiosity when we're reading a murder mystery, a cozy one. And with short stories, you have a different experience. It's like kind of a flash more than, you know, a wider holiday in a book. So I think a good story is when you can suspend disbelief long enough to process what the author is trying to tell you. And you have to believe it enough to be able to process it. You have to be part of the story. Now, there are various ways we do this. I mean, and they're pretty kind of solid techniques that we all know about. We show rather than tell. You let the reader experience the events in the story rather than tell them about the story. But sometimes telling someone about a story is a lot more effective than showing them, because you're then dealing with kind of the uncertainty of, well, do I believe this person? What is the story about? Is the story about the event, or is the story about the person telling me about the events? So that's an effective technique as well. So, for example, and I'll bring up two short stories here to point at these two differences. I don't know if you've heard of it, but one's called The Lottery by Shirley Jackson, written in 1948. It's very much a gathering happens in a kind of a platea, plaza, a piazza, in a town square, you know, in a village, you know, and it's kind of farmers and these people. And we have pockets of people and they have little tiny bits of conversation. And we're very much surrounded by the descriptions of what's happening. People are putting stones in their pockets. Ballots are getting distributed around the people as they all gather, you know, and the conversation keeps going. It's only about 3,300 words, but it's all description. And it leads to a point of, why are these people here? Why are there stones in their pockets? And who's going to be chosen? You build up a picture, and it's literally an image because it's very visual and it's very kind of, you can hear it. You can hear the voices, you can hear the dialogue. So the next one I'm going to mention is The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Stetson, which was written in 1892. Again, just 10 pages, about 6,000 words, but that's, it's descriptions coming from a woman who's been taken to the country by her husband, a doctor. And we hear her say the things that she's been told. And gradually, you're building up a picture from what someone is saying. So, and the way they say it, you kind of think, well, hold on, what the hell's going on here?
Mm.
And it's the most fun.
That sounds brilliant.
It's fantastic. It's really fantastic. But they're both kind of female-centered stories. But one is full of description and the other one is full of narration. But they both, the point of them is they both build to a point. They're very focused, yet by the end of it, you have to lead to somewhere. And the short story is rather unforgiving. You can't have meandering thoughts because you haven't got the space for them. There are no sub-stories. You know, there's no B story here. There's no one there to kind of back up what you're trying to say. It is your job, as precisely as possible, with as few meanderings and few distractions, to get the reader to where you want to get them. And that's the beauty of it, really, because we all have a common understanding of reality, in a way. And it's funny, because a lot of these science fiction stories are based in dystopian worlds, but they only work because we get the themes. But it's got to be crisp, really. I mean, that's the biggest part.
Yeah,
but, you know, there's lots of tips out there. So one of the Stephen King tips in on writing is, you know, cut out your adverbs, cut out all the unnecessary stuff. And remember, you've got to be tangible in what you're showing. So even very lyrical writing like The Great Gatsby, it's lyrical and it's beautifully done and beautifully expressed, but it still at its core has imagery. You know, it's very much based on what you can see. So when we think of what makes a good story, to bring it back to the question, it's being able to share your vision or your story to someone who understands it in the way you intended it.
Do you remember reading many short stories, like from when you started reading, or not really? Wouldn't have been something you would have gone to, but maybe, I don't know, through something like the New Yorker or maybe in some other form, they became more present to you.
Yeah, I always think I don't like short stories.
Read a short story,
but, okay. But I love, but I know so many, and I love all of them. Ones I remember saying them. I mean, a lot of the New Yorker ones, like J.D. Salinger. You know, a lot of them started there.
Yeah.
You know, Esme. That's true. To Esme with Love and Squalor. That's short stories. Yeah. You know, Nine Stories. It's another one of his.
Yeah.
There's one style that I don't think works very well as a short story. And that's some Agatha Christie books. She has written, I think, over 100 books. And she has written many short stories. Like, there's a collection of Hercule Poirot short stories. It's very much, this happened. Someone comes to Hercule. A diamond was stolen. And he says, right, this is what happened. But that's not the point of a mystery. You know, no one really reads or watches a mystery story to find out who did it. It's the how did they do it. And kind of the why, but, you know, you want the process. You want the process of working through it. Hercule is the character, not the mystery. You know, he's the main star. It's the detective that we follow. So, I mean, I think that it kind of misses the point.
Are short stories more popular at the moment? Not more popular, but is it something that's more easily presentable and maybe more easily printed or presented because the online writing is so much more present than maybe published books, and then they seem to be more prominent, or not really? Maybe it's just my impression that they're becoming more of a commodity.
A short story was the format. I mean, that was it. That's kind of how it all started. Even when you look at plays, they were a lot shorter.
Right.
It wasn't like it is now, where we spend 3 hours in front of a movie or a documentary. I mean, Charles Dickens used to write, you know, kind of weekly. These were serials. So you'd only get like this kind of half an hour read. And also it will be read out loud. It will be shared with other people. So short stories were very much kind of the way. I mean, I think fewer magazines now publish short stories than they used to. The New Yorker used to be very big on things. A lot more magazines used to include short stories. I don't see much difference. People are more inclined to go now with these there's a whole movement about these series, you know, book one, book two. That's what publishers really want. They want to have build a customer base, like readers, and then have them by the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. So in short stories,
community,
there's no kind of continuity because you're done. You're very much self-contained.
And there's a lot of flash fiction flashing around.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's that?
Well, flash fiction is very short.
Really flash, like 300, 500
words. Well, sometimes 50.
Super short.
Sometimes 50 words, sometimes 100 words. But again, it kind of relies on a lot of common information or common understanding. You know, because you immediately have to know what they're talking about, what the scenario is, what the implications are, and what the consequences are.
Tell me what you think as well, but it's like you really have to get to short, sharp, but really felt emotions super quickly to even consider that the, like, everything is about emotions. Like, it'll be love or loss or hate. Like you were saying, like, it has to be something that's instantly recognizable and human, like universal.
Magnitude. It has to have some kind of magnitude. It has to be of enough impact for the reader to get them to care, really. And it's quite tough in very few words. So you have to rely on instantly kind of shared emotions like loneliness or, you know, mental health, things that people can very quickly relate to and find meaning in. But some of them are just quite fun. I mean, I think a lot of science fiction deals with the what would you do in this situation? Like, there's an amazing Ray Bradbury book called From the Martian Chronicles, where there's a man who's been left behind on Mars and he's been alone for like 60 years. There's no one else on the planet. And one day he gets a phone call. Yeah, and you kind of think, what do I do? Because a lot of life is based like that. You're like, well, okay, I'm encountering this very unusual situation. What do I do? How do I test it out before I have to live it? And a lot of short stories and a lot of fiction, that's its job. It kind of, it trains us to say, this is what I would do, you know, and you kind of embed the idea of it. That's quite a fun story.
Do the main characteristics of what make a good book, do they have to be there in a short story or not at all? Like the plot, the odyssey, these are main, one of those seven plots that make a book. Do any of them have to show up in a short story or not necessarily at all?
No, you've still got to have, so a plot, my kind of interpretation of a plot is what answer do I get from the question I'm posing kind of thing. That doesn't really make sense in a way, but a story is based on what happens if I do this, or what happens if I find myself in this situation. It's very much how do I react. So Rapunzel's a great one. You know, getting a haircut doesn't really mean anything unless, you know, you're Rapunzel or you're Brenna, or, you know, he had no hair. You know, it's gotta be meaningful enough to bring a change. And a story needs a plot, it needs a purpose. And the plot asks a question and kind of the characters answer it. You know, and we're very much the characters. We're in this story, short or long, and the character has to answer the question. But of course, there are many short stories that don't have characters.
So that was Joanna Booth from Bristol in the UK, with many insights into what makes a short story good and what we can learn from all these brilliant examples that she's brought to us. Hope you enjoyed the listen. We are looking to keep books and stories right at the top of everyone's agenda here in Brussels. So thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Keep writing.